Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the International Black Summit Talk Show Network, and this is your host for tonight, John Thomas. And tonight we have a very special show. We are on part seven of the IBS 20-year reunion year, and we're counting up from what I understand. So tonight's show is going to be about the 2005 summit, where we had multiple summit events in Miami, Chicago, and Top Hill, Jamaica, and 2006, where we had the summit in Detroit. So if you have any questions, please call in 646-716-9827. If you want to share, if you attended one of those summits, we would love to hear from you. Again, that number is 646-716-9827. Now, if you just want to listen, you can call into our special conference line, 218-862-6420. That's 218-862-6420, access code 7974834. I see that I have some people on the call already on the line, and so I'm just going to bring you guys in. You're all live. Who would like to just share, say who you are, and just have yourself be known?
Who'd like to start? Already, Chakaysha, calling you from, I'm back in the United States, in the lovely state of California.
Wonderful. Welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Who else do we have on the line?
Got Graham Greenwich out of New York City, and I was in a Top Hill Summit.
Wow. Welcome, Glenn.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank you.
All right. And then who's the other person that's online?
That would be Jerry.
Okay. And Jerry's in New York as well?
Yes, he is. He's out of Brooklyn, New York.
All right. Wonderful. So in 2005 was a pretty, I would say, remarkable and interesting year. I remember being at one of the planning body meetings, or it was a leadership body meetings. I don't know who we were at the time. And there was some talk about having a summit in Miami and some more talk about having a summit in Chicago, and there was what was going to be happening in Top Hill, Jamaica. And, you know, we were talking about where we're going to be split up and how is that going to work and so on and so forth. And it went on for a while. And then something happened in that conversation, and we got to see that there were really more than enough of us to make this happen. And I thought that was really great that we got clear that we really were enough, and that we could have multiple events. And I didn't attend those events. I was actually with another summit participant, two other summit participants in Virginia, at a conference, but I understand there were some wonderful experiences. So, Glenn, you said you were in Top Hill. And Chakaysha, where were you?
Okay, well, I always like to be wherever the summit is, and if the summit was in three places, Chakaysha was going to be in three places. And my intention was to attend all three. What showed up was I went to Chicago. I also went to Miami, and then I had a snafu happen where I was on my way to Jamaica and didn't make it, but I heard it was the bomb, and we definitely got somebody here that was at Jamaica, so we got all three bases covered.
Has arrived.
And we got Henrietta here.
Yes.
Announce yourself, make yourself present.
This is Henrietta, and I am, where am I? In University Park, Illinois, at a wonderful birthday party today.
Well, wonderful.
Fantastic. And, John, I'd just like to set us up and open us up and clear us and share with our listening audience our declaration, the declaration of the International Black Summit.
Okay, go for it.
Okay. The declaration of the International Black Summit. We declare ourselves, our community, and all communities whole and complete. There is nothing to do except be. We assert that we are responsible for generating community as possibility and distinction. We listen for and grant being to the possibility and creation of unpredictable results. Our conversation of, about, and for those of African descent is one of power, self-generation, abundance, responsibility, unity, and integrity with the possibility of being. We stand for the expression of our spirituality, ending the murders of our men, women, and children, building economies responsible for funding our community, maintaining wellness of being in our bodies, providing human services, establishing nurturing relationships, altering the conversation of who we are in the media, empowering our youth. We declare that our community manifests itself in the world as a contribution in the transformation of the universe. Atlanta, Georgia, October 7th, 1991. And we'll have a moment of silence. Thank you.
And thank you. I'm rummaging through some papers because, you know, once you said that, that made me think about including the purpose of the International Black Summit as well as some of the other components. And I'll share those later, but right now I just want to share the purpose of the International Black Summit is to provide an opportunity for participants to bring into being their vision for the black community in the world. And in 2005, that is what happened. And so I like to take a little sharing from either one of you who were in any of those places. I'm not sure if Henrietta was also in one of those, but Glenn, I know you said you were in Top Hill, and Shakaysha, you were in Miami and Chicago.
Yes. Oh, I'd like to start with Chicago, because that was the first place I went. So in 2005, it was in Chicago, Illinois, and Chicago is also my hometown. I was born in Chicago, Illinois, so it was great to be there inside of the International Black Summit, given that was my home, you know, state and city. And it was fabulous because I participated with the prerequisite. The prerequisite is a standalone course that happens that has you actually begin to do and deepen authentic listening and to have you be inside of the conversation starting on Friday morning that goes Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And one of the things that it does is some people are there for the first time. Some people have been coming for like every year straight. Some people have missed some years. And one of the things the prerequisite does for new people is have them be right on the same page with whether people are there for 17 years, 5 years in a row, whatever. They enter the conversation in the same place inside of the they're right with the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the things we do is we have the prerequisite throughout the year, but we definitely have it on the Thursday before Friday so people can, you know, get started with the summit if they weren't able to do the prerequisite before. And I was one of the facilitators to help participate and lead the prerequisite. And it was fantastic because we had several summit people's parents in it. In this particular one was Lenar's parents were in this in the prerequisite that I was leading. And,
wow.
You know, a lot of couples, a lot of couples, and older couples, you know, like 40 and over. So it was very interesting being in that clearing with that kind of wisdom sharing about the International Black Summit. So it just started off with a bang, you know, with just the people that were sitting in the prerequisite, you know, the wisdom and the experiences that they were bringing to the conversation that year.
Wonderful.
And
now,
go ahead.
Yeah. I want to come back to your first day in just a moment.
Mm-hmm.
But since you so eloquently set up the space for what was going to be happening in Chicago, I want to get a sense of what was happening in Top Hill, because I understand that was a little different type of event.
Yes, it was, John. Top Hill was actually drawn out of Toronto's family. Her grandfather had actually started Top Hill, and Top Hill is one of several in several communities in the hills in Jamaica. So it's actually Top Hill St. Catherine, which is one of the provinces or the parishes of the island of Jamaica. And so the thing that we actually went to do and started out with is on that, and we were there for about 2 weeks, a total of approximately 2 weeks. So one of the first things that we did when we got there, and this is Oren and myself and Dawn and some of the other folks that were there at that point in time, we sat down with the community leaders of Top Hill, and we went to meet with the government officials. So we met with the government officials to find out what was available in terms of being able to, number one, organize the community, and number two, get resources from the Jamaican government. So it was interesting that we were able to sit down, and of course, one of the conversations, they said, well, why are you guys here? And one of the things that we said is that we've got a connection through Dawn, and that we're here to support, not to, you know, we were clear that we were not there to do anything but to be an opening and a stand for the possibility of the Top Hill community.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was, so that's how we started out. And then we actually had a fest. We created a festival, and we created also an actual annual event, summit event at the schoolhouse. So we really had a lot of different things going on. It wasn't just come and have some conversations about the International Black Summit, but it really was about supporting and organizing the folks in that community, and then having them see the possibility of the community and working out the personal things that they had going on with each other. So we actually had a forum that we could actually unfold and people can vent about the frustrations about what was happening and what was not happening in the community, used in the distinctions of the summit to notice trigger, you know, what conversations that we were in, and notice that if we were empowering each other or not as a community.
Mm-hmm.
Back to you, John.
All right, wonderful. You know, I'm looking here over some of our documents, and it says the International Black Summit is a conversation that's been given to life, or given by life, to the world through people of Black African descent. It's a conversation that finds its expression in the Declaration of the International Black Summit. It's also an event that takes place during the first weekend in August each year, attended by people of Black African descent who are committed to the unfoldment of the Declaration in their lives. So it sounds to me like what you were doing and Shakeshi were doing was that.
Yes, definitely.
And, you know, yeah, and it's interesting that you said they asked, why are you here? What are you doing here?
Yeah.
What do you want? What
exactly.
Are you guys up to? What did you come all the way from the United States over here to do?
And you know, but you know, the most interesting part of that conversation is that we were asked the same question in Brazil.
Uh-huh.
And the Brazilians really, once they got that we weren't, that we were there out of commitment to them, and the Jamaicans as well, they really began to kind of let down their guard, because the first, you know, the first, I guess, expression is, you know, kind of, you know, you kind of put your guard up and you're wondering, why are these Americans here? What do they want? What are they trying to do? Are they trying to bamboozle us, sell us something, whatever, whatever. But when people get that you're there standing for their commitment to themselves, then things open up and people begin to uncover the brilliance and the beauty of who they are as and who we are as a people. And that's
right.
The kind of thing that really gets uncovered. Back to you, Joe.
Yes. Yeah, it sounds like you were providing an opportunity for them to bring into being their vision for the Black community in the world.
Absolutely.
Okay, back to you, Shakeshi.
Right. And it's just as Glenn says, I would say almost every place that we went out of the country, and probably within the country, but I'm going to just, I'm just thinking in terms of outside of the country. Now, up to the Miami one, the three summits before then, 2002 was in Toronto, Canada, and then 2003 was Brazil, and 2004 was Ghana. And in some form or fashion, that question was asked each and every time. And one of the responses that we always share, and sometimes people look at us like, I don't know, is that we always say we're not coming to do anything. We have nothing to give. You know, we're not doing a seminar. We're not giving 10 tips. And, you know, when we respond, that's always like, what? What do you mean you're not here to give us anything or to do anything to us? You know, we're actually a request to engage in conversation. It's just like when somebody walks up to you and you start to converse with them. You're actually in a conversation, you know. And so that concept of that we came to engage in a conversation, because for me there's always something that the conversation is already giving. And when I talk about the conversation, I kind of want to step back to say when we're saying conversation, we're, one, talking about it at the level of two people or two or more people discussing something. So, yes, we mean it a conversation like that. But we're also talking about something that I got familiar to learn in the summit is a nonlinear conversation. Linear is like 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, or counting numbers 1, 2, 3. Nonlinear means there's no particular order. And for me, it also speaks into the spirituality or into that realm. So the conversation that the Declaration talks about is really inside of that nonlinear. The conversation is already existing. The conversation is going on. It's moving. It's we're like catching up to it. We're like actually get together to talk about the conversation that's already happened that we just have actually heard so that we can discuss it. And as you reread the summit, that'll kind of make what I'm saying a little clearer. And what happens is that we as people, the people who came to the location and the people who are actually in the location, all of a sudden we start looking at each other. It's almost like we hear a different wavelength. And now we're both tuning our ears to what that wavelength is, and then we're talking with each other about what we're hearing. So in Miami and Chicago, and I was first pointing to Chicago, because Chicago is an urban place. And we had just left Ghana, which is one of the areas that we were actually taken from. And mm-hmm. Chicago is one of the areas where when we did the huge migration, the black migration, a lot of us went to Chicago as a people, as a community. So in Chicago, I could get this feeling of that migration, of like we're all here. We all came from these all different places, from the South and, you know, and now we're here in Chicago. Why? And it's like, why are we here? And we started looking at that. Why are the men here? The men were like looking at a certain conversation. Like I said, there were elders. I think in Chicago there were a lot more elders, people of 50 and plus present, than had ever been at a summit with me that I had been at. So that was occurring in Chicago. All of these different conversations, they were like searching each other's out and seeing who was a match for which conversation. And then at one point in the room in Chicago, our microphones all went out, and we started hearing some conversation from somewhere else. And you know, like when it happened, we all were like, and then we got, just be quiet and listen. Don't be into it. It's broke. Let's not even think it's broke. Let's just see what we hear. And it was amazing, like when our mics were back on where we were speaking to each other in the room, it was amazing to get something had occurred, you know, and we talked about it, you know. Like, what do you think that was? Why do you think the mics did that switch up? Maybe it wasn't a mistake. It's deep. The things that show up inside of the International Black Summit is deep. Sometimes you can say magical. A lot you can say is very spiritual. So that's a little bit of the space of the Chicago summit.
And so you left Chicago when? On what day?
Okay. Now, it's been a while. I was there for the prerequisite, so I know I was there for Thursday. I was there Friday. I think I left Friday night because I wanted to be in Florida the next day. So I think I left Friday night. I was there all day Thursday, all day Friday, and then I flew to Miami, Florida.
Okay, good. So before you tell me about Miami, which was day two, I want to check in with Henrietta. To see if you have anything you want to share at this point. Were you at any of those events? Henrietta, are you still there?
I can
Yeah, I'm here. I just had you on mute.
Okay.
I just had you on mute. I was listening to Chakaysha talk about Chicago, because I was in Chicago and Miami also. I did make it to Jamaica, but I did make it the first two. And we were in a suburb of Chicago. So, you know, to Chicagoans, that's different. That's a major difference. And so I was just listening to Keisha to see, you know, how different that experience was, because I can remember thinking, here, this isn't really Chicago. You know, that's kind of how I was thinking, like it made a difference, you know, as if it made a difference that we were, you know, right in a suburb. We were either Skokie or Evanston, but it was just north of the city. And but anyway, I remember in Chicago how welcome there were a lot of teenagers that came with me, because my daughter was a teenager at the time, and how welcome they were, just overwhelmed with how welcome they were in the summer. They had heard about it, you know, through Henri, but they had no idea what the experience was going to be like. And they performed at the opening ceremonies. They did spoken word pieces. They, you know, they just, and it kind of set the pace for me, you know, because it was like I got that. It didn't matter, you know, like the actual location didn't matter. And that I was holding it, you know, I was holding it one way rather than allowing it to be what it could be. And so that was big for me, because I come out with all these teenagers, and then the teenagers were such a big part of it. And they were, you know, they just walked in and were just welcome and took, you know, took part in the opening ceremonies. And that was just like, oh my God, it was so much fun. Then my friend, some of my
Jerry
has left the conference.
Some of my musician friends came, so they had a chance to perform as well. It was just a really, really great, you know, just all around great experience. And that was just the opening ceremonies on Thursday night that I'm, you know, that I'm talking about. So I just kind of wanted to share that.
Wow. Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
As I'm going through these documents, you know, I'm looking down in the section where it says what's available through the summit.
Mm-hmm.
And it says it's a gathering of people of Black African descent,
yeah,
from diverse backgrounds, countries,
yeah,
lifestyles, opinions, and views, who
mm-hmm.
come together to celebrate and empower the vision of the Declaration. It says that it's an exploration of questions and issues which empower participants to realize their vision for the Black community in the world. It also says it's a place to clear, a place to clear yourself so as to be able to hear what life is telling you, which is what Chakaysha was pointing to when the microphones went off.
Right, right.
You know, it's also an opportunity of acknowledgement, praise, and celebration of who we are as a people and the contribution we are to the world. Fundamentally, it's a global shift about who that people of Black African descent are in the world. So when we talk about a conversation, we're not talking about like an idle chit-chat.
Right.
You know, we're not talking about when I was in college, I drove a red truck. And Glenn says, well, I remember when I was in college, I had a blue Camry. Well, Chakaysha says, well, I got a Camry now, and I love it. Well, you know, but I don't like, you know, we're not talking about that kind of conversation.
Right.
So while it's not linear, so to speak, like 1 + 1 = 2, it is organized in a way that it follows a kind of a pathway. As we're listening to the listening in the room, it follows a pathway where people begin to see themselves and clear themselves and hear themselves in themselves as well as in others. And the process of doing that gives them access to openings in areas that rapidly move their vision forward in like a nonlinear way. So it's not going up gradually. They see something. I saw something. You all saw something, and it spiked up. And you got to a level of clarity about something, and it made a difference in your life.
John, I've got a perfect example of that in Top Hill.
That was definite for me, John. That was that clarity thing, because I was trying to make it mean something that we were outside of the city. Okay. You know, but it was exactly what you just said. It was like be in the moment and like
be
with the goodness, the greatness of this whole experience. And when I let go of that and I was able just to see what the people I had invited, because we were in Chicago, okay, and if, you know, I could call people and say, come on, and they only had to go to a suburb. They didn't have to leave the country or do whatever, you know. It was just wonderful. I mean, it was, and I got clear about it being wonderful.
Wow. Well, thank you for sharing that. And Glenn, you said you had a perfect example.
Well, the example, you know, and as I look, all of the summit events have this dynamic to it. So it's not just that Top Hill had it. But one of the things that, you know, we say that we're not bringing anything to the annual event, but what we were able to do as the process of clearing and voicing our vision, the people in Top Hill actually began to speak their vision for the community, which for most of them, they hadn't even heard each other speak in that particular way. And in speaking that way, let me speak for myself. So I saw something about myself in their speaking, and I was able to provide something in my speaking that collectively took us to a whole nother place in terms of what was possible and what were the things that we want to work on as a community in Top Hill. So that whole clearing, that whole possibility, that whole working together, that whole sharing visions, and all of that began to bubble up, and the result of it was this matrix of things that and of relationships that people began to be related to each other in a different way, because they were now in touch with each other's vision for the community and can begin to hold each other differently as they spoke and listened each other in the community.
Wow. And what was that thing that you saw for yourself?
Well, the thing that I saw for myself was the working together, but also working in a way of I don't have to necessarily know how to get it done, but that I can trust that we are sufficient and we as a people, as a collective, can get it done. And so that was very empowering, because here I was in this foreign country and, you know, the visitor, but I was yet able to contribute to the possibility of this community, being an outsider that was accepted and listened to in a particular way, that we could get things happening.
Wow.
That was very powerful for me.
Wonderful. Wonderful. All right, so we're back to you, Shakesha. We now are in Miami. It's Saturday.
Right. Yes. Now, I fly in, and it's actually a storm going on when I fly into the airport. I've now discovered that I don't have my passport that will now take me on to Jamaica. And I'm still trying to get things straightened out so that I can go on to Jamaica. But when I actually land in Miami, I started to walk over to the Jamaica counter desk to get more information. And I actually see outside and see the wind and the storm. And right in that moment, I said, perhaps it is not meant for you to go to Jamaica. Now, it's very interesting. The only other summit I missed prior to that was in Jamaica. So there's a lot going on with me for Jamaica, you know, which is another show. But I just wanted to bring that forth. So if somebody's saying, she keep missing them Jamaican ones. So, and Jamaica is a significant history in my personal life. So, I was willing to be with what was occurring. And what was occurring was that I was in Miami, and when I left Miami, I was not going to be going to Jamaica. And so that was the first thing that the summit provided me with when I landed in Miami, was to be in the moment and to be with whatever way it was, you know, instead of fighting, resisting. So I picked up from the airport from the summit family. I walk into the room, and it's just, you just feel this feeling of party, like a bliss. It's like a happy feeling, you know. It's like you walked in a happy place. You know, that was what I immediately just felt when I walked in the room. And, you know, I'm orientating myself to, I'm now in Florida, what's happening here, because I just walked in. And what I got was this whole feeling of happy. It was just like a happy feeling. I was very present to the youth. And people who had brought youth, Tamara, who is from the Atlanta area, I think had brought about 5 to 6 young people with her. And I was very present to the youth. They were very busy leading, being engaged in the training of our future leaders. Like they were leaders and they were training their fellow leaders. So I was very present to the youth at the summit. And for our listening audience, just to let you know and remind you, there's a whole youth component for our International Black Summit that occurs at the annual event. So our next location is Baltimore. And so if you have youth, you know, start to gather them and have them be in Baltimore. Because what occurs for the youth in the summit is leadership training. Well, it occurs for all of us, but definitely for the young people. And so that's one of the things I was present to. And the other thing was exactly what we were discussing in Chicago, the things that were coming forth out of the Chicago summit was present in the room in Miami. So it wasn't like I had flown to another state. It was the same conversation. And each year we either have a question or a declaration that comes out of each summit. And I just want to share what it was for us for Miami, Chicago, Top Hill, Jamaica. And it wasn't a question. It was a declaration. And it was only 3 elements: passion, essence, in action. Passion, essence, and action. And now that I look at that, that's what I was feeling that I called happy. I could feel the presence of passion, essence, and action in Chicago and in Miami, Florida. So let's just swing to Glenn and see how those three words show up for them in Top Hill.
Well, you know, the passion was the love of their community and the organizing of their community. The essence of it was that they were just country folks up in the hills, some of them grown their own food, there were river waterfalls that we experienced, the essence of life was clearly present in Top Hill because it was so far away from the city. It was, you know, cliffs and mountains, mountainous terrains, and you could see the other mountains on the island. So Esther's passion, and then the action was really had to do with us looking to see what we needed to do as a community to move forward. And one of the things that we actually got a chance to work on was cementing part of the schoolhouse. So that was one of the many actions that we took while we were there. The other thing is that we actually created a festival. So we actually created a festival that would bring other people from other townships up to check out Top Hill. So we had a big, these monster speakers in this giant field. We had food being served. We had drinks being sold. And all of the monies that were generated from that helped to support the people in Top Hill. All of those things were present in the event.
Right. And didn't you guys create an action list that the community
needed? Yes, we did. We actually created an action list to follow up with the government agency that we had sat with at the very beginning of the conversation. And, ecotourism. There were some other infrastructure requests that they had. They also wanted a computer library that they wanted, and an internet cafe that they were looking to do. So there were quite a few things that they engaged in to really move the community forward.
Wow. All right, let me ask you guys a question. We have about 16 minutes left, and I hear it was a really powerful experience in all three places, and I also hear something similar was happening that year, because it's clearly not it was just happening in one place. Like something was happening that year that it showed up the way that it showed up very similarly in three places. Now, was either one of you or Henrietta or Jerry? I thought I heard Jerry sign off, but maybe that. Anyone in Detroit in 2006?
Yes, I was in Detroit in 2006, Jacasia.
Okay, so Detroit in 2006, you guys ended up with the declaration of I am my vision fulfilled. So after a year of living in passion, essence, and action, you came to I am my vision fulfilled. So is there anything that you can share that might have been unique to that? Because it's starting to sound like to me that all the summit events produce this miraculous space for people to get clear about who they are, what their visions are, and begin to involve themselves in relationships with people that help them have that happen. So what happened in Detroit to have you come out with "I Am My Vision Fulfilled"?
Well, I was at the Detroit one, and the thing I would like to connect that I see that it's speaking to some of what you're saying, John, is to remind people and to share with people that 1992, which is the second summit, was in Michigan. It was in Highland Park. And even though it says Detroit here, we were still in Highland Park because actually we were in a building that was now the community building. So from 1992 to 2006, things had literally shifted in Michigan, Highland Park / Detroit. Before we were just starting, we were probably had rented a place. In 2006, we were actually, we had a building. And in fact, inside of this building, we owned it in such a way that we were naming rooms in the building after different facilitators, what we call the original five facilitators. A room was named after Catherine Copper. There were two more people I can't remember right now. But, I mean, now we're inside of our building naming rooms in honor of ourselves. So you could say, "I am my vision fulfilled," was we were standing in it, in that the when the Detroit / Highland Park came to 1992 summit, they were a complaint that this community was not being represented to such a point that what they took on in that summit in 92 was to go back and put someone in the office of mayor. Someone at the 92 summit stood up and said, "I will be mayor." He wasn't a politician, but it's like, if not me, then who? So he stood up and said, "I'll be mayor." The rest of the Detroit people said, "We will support you and get you elected." And he did get elected. And I think he ran three times. So now we're in, roll forward to 2006. We now have a building. That whole community was transformed. So it's like I was looking at a vision for Phil.
Mm-hmm.
Looking at the people, looking at the structure, listening to the conversation. Kilpatrick had just became mayor of Detroit. It was just you could see it every place you looked. You could see it every place you looked.
Wow.
And you know, and for me, I am my vision for Phil. This is the year that I declared that I would go to New Orleans to be of service, because 2005 had been Katrina. And in watching what had taken place in Katrina, I declared, "I'm going to New Orleans, and I'm going to help open a school." And we hadn't even picked New Orleans as the place yet. In the Detroit summit, I was upstairs working with young people, and I kept saying, "Have we picked our new place?" And people kept saying, "Not yet, not yet." Then someone said, "Yes," and I said, "Where is it?" They said, "New Orleans." I said, "Of course," because that was my vision for Phil. I had already said I was going there. So the one thing I see about the summit all the time is how it immediately works in my life out of what I say. Not somebody else says, "Oh, Chikatra, you should do this," or "Look at this," or "Do that." Out of my mouth and out of my creation, the summit lives. You know, that's why I don't miss it unless, you know, tremendous odds show up. you know, my mother passed away in London when we had it in London. I didn't make that one. That was the only thing that would keep me from not being there. So I am, my vision for Phil showed up very strongly in my life. And also we actually got to honor one of the people who helped create it, and that was Pat, Reporter.
Reporter. Mm-hmm.
That's, you know, she still lives in Detroit. She loves Detroit, you know, and she's, all of her visions that she had created for herself were fulfilled.
Wow.
And so I didn't even get that like that until you asked it, John. That's just the part I saw. Now, we don't know what Glenn knows about in Henrietta, but that's a little piece for me.
Okay, well, we got about 9 minutes now. And I am just going to trust. Hold on, Henrietta, before you go. I'm just going to. Henrietta has left the conference. I'm just going to trust that your speaking was the speaking of the essence of that summit. So at this point, unless you have something very specific to say, Glenn, I'd like to just hear any closing comments about your participation in either one of those summits or just in general.
I do have something in general, and I'm gonna present something. I just saw One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest again, and one of the things that for those of you who don't know the storyline, have never seen the movie, there's an Indian in the picture, American Indian, and he goes from the people in this particular ward thinking that he's deaf and dumb and can't speak to being able to speak and just kind of hiding out and not letting people know really who he was and what he was about. And so what I saw about that and liken that to the summit activities and events is that we provide the possibility and the groundwork for transformation to occur. Now, this Indian could speak all the time, but he chose not to. And at some point in time, something shifted that had him feel comfortable enough to reach out to the Jack Nicholson character and befriended him in a way that had him be bigger than who he was at the start of it. And so the summit event is an opportunity for people to break up the routine that they have, the commonalities or the spaces where they're not breaking out and could be more than they know themselves to be. And the summit is a vehicle to actually bring that out, so that you can be speaking and talking and transforming yourself in whatever way differently than how you started out the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
I know that was a little long, but you know, the point to transformation. Back to you, John.
Well, thank you, Glenn. Any closing comments for you, Shakesha?
Yes,
really
I just
quickly
want to let the listening audience know that you can find all the information for attending this annual event. That's August. Our opening ceremony is August 5th, and then we start off August 6th on Friday on our website, blacksummit.org, all one word, blacksummit.org. If you go to our upcoming events, you can see where you can register. You can see that we're at Sojourner Truth. And the thing I wanted to say, Sojourner Truth name is actually, she created that name because she was on a journey and she was on a journey to truth. So I just kind of, that just clicked in my mind. We're at Sojourner Truth College. That's where the annual event for this year is. So please join us, and you can get more details right there. And I just love the summit. I flew in from Okinawa, 2 hours from Japan. I'm flying into the Bahamas to celebrate with our oldest member of the summit. She'll be 80, and she's having a party in the Bahamas, and I'm not going to miss that. And then from there, I will fly into our annual event in Baltimore, as we say, B-more, Maryland.
Wonderful. Jerry or Henrietta, are you guys still there?
I'm still here, my brother.
Okay. I thought you had left, man. Somebody left the call.
Nah, I'm just enjoying the summit. Just enjoying it. Listen to it, so.
All right. Any closing comments for you? Or was that it?
Well, for me being in this, well, in Baltimore, this is going to be my very first summit that I'll be attending. And I just cannot wait to be a part of our African family of descent globally. I can't wait. I can't wait to participate in the conversation. Finally, official.
It's interesting that you say it just that way, Jerry, because you've been participating in it. You know, so for those of you out there listening, what we're talking about is our annual event. However, we're engaged in this type of dialogue throughout the year, and we meet periodically. We have phone conferences and this talk show and other activities where, you know, you're still able to sort of get the work done, so to speak. So Jerry has been participating really actively, from what I understand, over the last year or so. And what he's pointing to is that this will be his first annual event, actually attending an annual event. And I'll really be interested in what comes out of his mouth after he participates. So I'm looking forward to seeing you there, Jerry. I won't be there, but I know you'll be in good hands.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure you'll be well contributed to, and you will also make a contribution to the space, or continue to make a contribution to the space. So as Acacia said, we're down under a minute. If you want more information about this year's International Black Summit event, it's August 6th through the 8th. That's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And if you're there on Thursday, if you haven't taken the prerequisite, you can take the prerequisite on Thursday. And Thursday night, we always have a celebration. That you may have heard them talk about the opening session. If you want to attend a celebration of people of Black African descent from all walks of life, like you have not experienced before, be there in B-more on that Thursday night and stay and participate in the summit, because that actually will forward your commitment in the world and your vision to the Black community. So with that being said.
Hold on, John, one moment. Jerry, can you give the oxygen room number? This is if you would like to continue the conversation for another 30 minutes. We're there. We're there for 10 minutes. If people join, we'll continue for 30. And Jerry's going to give the phone number.
Okay, my pleasure, my sister. The number is 218-862-6420. Access number is 797 4834 pound. I would say it again nice and slowly. The number,
we got 10 seconds.
Okay. 218-862-6420. Access number 797-4834 pound. 9 o'clock to 9:30. Continue the conversation.
All right. Okay, wonderful. All of you who may still be on the air, we are now off the air. I have been your host. So those of you who aren't here anymore, you won't know this, but you're hearing the recording. I have been your host, John Thomas. I'm one of the facilitators with the International Black Summit. It's been my pleasure, and I'll see you in the oxygen room, and thanks for having me.
Yes. John, while you're still there, we didn't get a chance, but this is still going on our recording, so I want to just thank you for being here. We missed the opportunity to acknowledge you're one of the first people who brought us our talk show, you and Lenar. So I want to acknowledge you and Lenar for being pioneers and for still being here, you know, and thank you for being here tonight. So,
you're absolutely welcome. All right, on to the oxygen room.
Okay.
All right. I'll see you guys next time on the radio.
Okay. Peace.
Has left the conference.